But his dad, Richard, who in fact is a musician, a professional musician, but more importantly for collectors, that they have in their possession what appears to be the original amplifier belonging to the great Jimi Hendrix. So, it's a very warm welcome to the program, guys. Thank you for coming to the program. Good to have you here. So, tell us a bit about yourselves, Richard. I mean, you're obviously a musician. I could tell by the guitar you've just walked in with a few thousand pounds worth there. So.
Well, yes, the old faithful. Yeah, this is Jamie Dickinson.
Jamie. So tell us a bit about yourself. I mean, you're Gloucestershire?
Yeah, Gloucestershire, 49 years old, and been playing since I was 10. I'm an electrician when I'm not a musician, but I try to be a musician most of the time.
Right.
I've owned the amp since 1971.
Right.
So, it was used in 71 to about 75, but it was awful, incredibly loud.
Can I ask you this question? I mean, as you've been playing music for such a long time, have you actually played with anybody we should know, or any records we should know?
No, I haven't done any records that you should know. I've played with quite a few of the old sort of 60s and 70s, sort of, you know, those kind of bands, Marmalade, Tremolos, all those kind of things.
Right.
We've done the same shows with various stuff.
Tell us a bit about the background. When it was originally manufactured, this amplifier?
It's a 66 Marshall plexiglass. There's allegedly only four of them ever built. It's very rare, so there are things going on that we're not allowed to discuss. It is a genuine 66 amp. There is some evidence to support Mitch and Jimmy actually buying it at the end of 66, and we've got photographic evidence and other evidence to prove that it was used during the Albert Hall performance and a lot of the other gigs.
Right.
We're in the middle of tying up as to whether it was used at Monterey. It looks like it was used at Monterey, hence the JHEX XP logo on the top, which means it was actually shipped abroad. So it's a very, very important amp. And we've also got information that makes us think that it was used to record Hey Joe, Purple Haze, and those things.
That would have been my question, actually. What did Jimmy actually use it to record? And if so, what evidence do you have of those tracks?
There's no actual hard evidence of that, except that every time that this amplifier pops up in a photo, it's amp number one. Mm-hmm. It's the one he always plugs directly into, and the other's a daisy chain from it, which leads anybody who knows he had his favourite amp. Everything points to that being his favourite amp. It's the holy grail of amps, mm-hmm. basically.
Mm-hmm. And manufactured by
Marshall. Yes, good old Jim.
What does Marshall feel about the amp? What do their feelings about? Do you feel this is the one?
I can't speak on behalf of Marshall.
They've spoken to you, and
in the words of the first press release that we did a few weeks ago, the final paragraph says that was agreed between Jamie, who's, as I say, is my manager, is early evidence shows that one of Jimmy's amps has finally come home.
Right.
And there is a further press statement to come from Marshall that we can't preempt, but
Assumedly, there's an opportunity for Marshall to reproduce this amplifier. That's the obvious.
I suppose it could be. Yeah.
They're reproducing it once for us.
Yeah,
they're
building
us. For us.
They're building me a clone. Which.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
So the question comes obviously is we've got some authenticity. We've got photographs. We've got knowledge. We've got various things. But how did it come your way? And why did you purchase it?
I bought it in 1971. I was 15 years old, mm-hmm. and when Hendrix died, it was actually like a death in the family.
Yeah.
I really, really took it personally. I was just a Hendrix freak. I was completely... I lived, breathed and slept Hendrix. In fact, I used to go into Boots and ask the girl behind the record counter, if there'd been any new releases that I hadn't heard of yet. Mm-hmm. I was that much of a collector of his records. And a guitarist as well. I started playing the guitar because of Jimi Hendrix directly. I wanted to be a drummer until I saw him play. And going back to those days of the 60s, when somebody like Hendrix popped up in front, he completely rewrote your ideas about the guitar and about performance. And he just absolutely blew me away. And I saw it advertised, and when Hendrix died, it's like the 60s died with him. And really the interest in Hendrix wasn't very great after he died. Those few years, he just faded away, and it was almost like people were embarrassed about the excesses of the 60s. And when Hendrix went, he took part of the 60s with him.
It
was never quite the same. And I saw it advertised in Melody Maker for a couple of weeks, and I kept saying to my mum, it's still there, I can't believe it. And in the end she bang up and they said, yeah, it's still here. So we put a deposit on it, and I worked for weeks to get the money, washing cars and things.
So the cost at the time?
£65 plus £5 postage and packing.
Wow, I'm blown. And value now? I know it's valueless. You know, if you know what I mean, it would have to go up for auction. But what, I mean, have you been ever offered to, you know, somebody come along and said, I want that. Name your price.
Nobody has directly come and said, here's the money, that's what we want, but figures of $1 million have been banded around. They are unconfirmed, but we knew when we removed it from eBay, we were asked by Marshall to take it off eBay because they rang us up and said, there's a piece of history there, we'd love to research it, if you don't want to sell it, please take it off eBay. So we said, yeah, right.
So it wasn't a command, because I know certain firms for some reason can command eBay to have things removed.
Oh, can they?
Oh, yes. I mean, Madonna's, try put up
R.E.M.
Madonna, R.E.M., Madonna,
really?
Bruce had you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Springsteen.
No, he just loves bootleggers. He always has the first two rows of bootleggers and says, okay, bootleggers, we're going to start. Ready? Record. Right? But
that's kind of
Brian Adams. Brian Adams doesn't Adams, like yes. it. You can't put a Madonna up. It'll be taken off straight away.
Really?
So Marshall didn't actually say, get it off.
No.
It was, look, would you mind not putting it on, because we feel there's something here that
yes.
we can work.
Yeah, they were very nice, very polite, and I've got to say they've been absolutely wonderful all the way through.
So if you get this reproduction made, which I assume would either be a one-off or so limited that they'll become collector's items, will you sell the original?
Yes.
Yeah.
I couldn't keep it at home, I couldn't insure it.
Right.
Are you going to, I mean, we've got to assume that this is the amplifier used for Hey Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, so it is rock and roll.
It's just pure voodoo, that amp. It's beautiful.
I think what we'll do, we'll play that track, and we'll talk about maybe what the amp we may do in the future after I play this.
Shoot my lady. You know I pop.
wanted to go on a bit longer, actually, so it's so enjoyable. But I've been looking at the pictures of the amp, and it's, unless he had more than one 100 Marshall with identical damage circled, there's a picture here, it's not completely impossible, it's highly unlikely that you have in your possession an amp that would have had flown to Monterey for the Landmark Festival, which he burnt the painted Strat, and some, you could hear some reasonable close shots during Killing Floor and Foxy Lady, clearly showing the damage, and it appears that you've got that big Hendrix. Yeah, I can see that, absolutely wonderful. Well, you've got a lot of things happening about it. I need to talk to you a little bit about your record. Let's move on. Is there a chance that it will actually be used, and we will actually hear the amp again?
Yes, what we're going to do, we're going to record a single at Marshall in their studio with lots of people there. Do you want to take over, Jeremy?
Yeah, just a bit.
Can do.
Just move our single microphone around, folks. So
yeah.
You stay with us. Hey, Jamie, you were saying.
Yeah, we've got a big day organised at Marshall, latter part of next month. But before that time, we're going to re-record the amp in just a pure surrounding to get the real essence of the amp and how it actually sounds. There's a single that we've got planned to record with it, and we should have that ready for release on the 23rd of next month.
And you've got distribution and everything else?
We've got distribution contracts all sorted out. That was literally finalised just a couple of days ago. On the way here tonight, we actually had a phone call from New York to try and further from where we are now.
And there's going to be two tracks on the CD, or three tracks? Or
there's two different singles we're going to do. One's going to be used using the original amp. The other one, we're not quite decided yet.
And we've got an advanced demo here.
Yes,
which track am I going to play? Track two?
Yes.
Which is called?
It's called F. Track two.
Oh, here it is.
If I told you that I love you, not to take your heart away. If I said I'm thinking of you, why we had to part yesterday. Well, I don't mind, I just want you yesterday. Stars above you, you mean all the world to me. If this life has any meaning, then today will mean nothing to me. Just want you yesterday. Well, life was hard until I found you. Until I found you, I didn't know what to do. You broke my heart. Now I'm in pieces. The color of my heart from red to blue. I said I'm thinking of you. just want you yesterday. Just want you yesterday.
That's a lovely track, isn't it? And it's written by our guest tonight, so Richard, that's wonderful. And that will be that's I think we've got to play one more off this CD. And I know there's going to be features of you guys in the press, and of course you've got this big press launch, and there's a picture of the amp which is appearing in a guitar magazine. The
Guitarist,
which will be out next week, is that right?
Yes, it's next month. We've got a pre-release one here, but yeah, it should be out. It's a May issue, I think.
Yeah,
May 2000. Yeah, and 5. Yeah.
So there's that to look forward to as well.
Yeah.
We were talking off air about the fact that you listed it on eBay. Out of interest to our listener, how many people were watching the site? I mean, just how many people watched the site?
Clicked in, was it, rather than watchers?
Yeah, how many people?
We had a total of 1,467 watchers, if I remember rightly.
Watchers?
Watchers.
That's a lot of watchers.
That's just watchers.
That's watchers, not those that just clicked in and...
That's not the page.
Oh, no, that's a different thing altogether.
The Annandale, you must have been well over the top.
Oh, it was tens of thousands.
Yeah.
So you did the white. I mean, presumably you did what I think many people do in your situation. You realise there's something here which is really happening.
Oh, exactly.
And you're not going to get the price. Perhaps you would get in a Cooper or an auction or something of that nature. So
we weren't sure. It just erupted from the moment we put it on the website. Melted, it erupted. Within 2 days, we had so much interest, I simply had to build a page on our website to actually cope with the number of questions.
Yeah.
And actually answer the questions on a mass scale rather than just one-on-one email and phone calls. Mm. And then within 24 hours of posting up the page on our website, it melted. We had, I think it was 65,000 hits in about 8 hours.
It's phenomenal.
It's just worldwide.
It must have just blown you up.
It's just blown us away. We've had six weeks of a roller coaster ride. Every time I come home, I mean, Jamie's rung me up and said, "Where are you?" "Well, I'm at work." "Can you come home?" "Why?" "Well, HTV are coming at 3 o'clock this afternoon to film a," you know, and we've had all stuff like this.
In a way, and I know it's sort of like a marketing line, but in a way, by playing through in the style of Jimi Hendrix through that amp, you are actually getting the sound of Jimi Hendrix, aren't you? Because that amp was...
Oh, it's just, yeah, it's magic. As soon as you play it, you can just hear the echoes of Jimi.
Actually, I could have imagined Robert Plant singing that song.
Yeah,
that one. Hopefully,
Robert Plant. If you listen, Robert, could listen to the show. Hopefully, switch off, Robert. But hopefully, you'll come on the program soon, Robert. So.
Yeah, well, you know, we're hoping to get some luminaries at the Marshall event. Some of you have been invited to come and play through it. Mm. So, you know, we're hoping to get Gary Moore and people like that there. So it's going to be quite a launch. For
if you want to know anything off air about that amp, you can call us on 0845 303 9303. In fact, the guys are here, and the number again is 0845 303 9303, and you've got about 14 minutes to do that, and your calls will be answered. Let's hear this track, and it's called...
Which one is it? Number one?
It's number one, yes.
It's called Peace of My Heart.
Thank you, Richard. Well, I think Jimi Hendrix amplifier went to the right home there. Absolutely wonderful. Richard Dickinson, A Piece of Your Heart is going to be released. We'll probably play that track again, so and run a competition as well. Wish him every success. My, can that guy play the guitar? Now, this is something similar to play this as well, and hopefully I'll get another record off Chris.